Hello and welcome to the Bucket List Gamers podcast. I'm Jay and once again I'm joined by Eddie.
Hello.
And for only the second time in 50 episodes, we are not looking at a game from the list. Or rather, we're not looking at a new game from the list. We are looking at the list in general and doing a little bit of a retrospective. We thought, being the
51st
episode, it'd be nice to do something a bit special. And our reasoning is twofold. We won't lie to you and just say, yeah, we've had this plan from the beginning. We've got two games left to do, which we won't reveal when we do this list. But one of them we want to save for last because it's number one, because it makes sense. It would be weird to do number one second to last. And the other game I am right in the middle of playing through, and I want to finish it before we talk about it, and I didn't have time this week. So we're going to not talk about any new games. We're going to talk about lots of old ones and see if our opinions have changed, where we stand. So we tried to come up with a structure for this, and we've settled on, we're going to talk about the games in groups of 10. So 100 to 90, then so on. It'll be 100 to 91, if we're doing it like that, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then 90 onwards. So let's go. We'll start in, we'll go reverse order, so we don't give away the top one by accident. And we'll start right down the bottom of the list. So the bottom 10 games were Pokemon Gold and Silver, Defender, Civilization 4, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, Portal 2, Final Fantasy IX, Super Castlevania IV, Advance Wars, Alex Kidd in Miracle World, and Ico. Of those, I mean, it's easy to pick the best out of those 10, I would say. We don't really need much discussion on what the best is. And ironically, I suppose, if that's the right term to use, it's the one that's at 100, Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Yeah, closely followed by Ico for me, really. I'm assuming that's... I know your opinion on Ico.
To be fair, though, looking at the rest of them, there's not a lot that's going to challenge it. I mean, I do like Alex Kidd in Miracle World. I think that's a good game, but that's a nostalgia thing for me more than anything. It probably isn't a better game than Ico, objectively speaking. But then I wouldn't say any of those other games are better than Pokemon Gold and Silver, and that's at 100.
Yeah,
This should have been a clue as to how the list was going to fuck us over during the course of this. When a game as good as that is coming in at 100, which was our very first episode back just over a year ago, if you want to go and listen to that, I don't think it's quite as good as our new episodes, if I'm honest. We were finding our feet. But yeah, to put that in at 100, that should have been a clue that something weren't quite right about this list, and we just didn't twig.
Yeah, and I'm assuming it's because of the nostalgia that the Retro Gamer magazine's audience has for other games, that Pokemon Gold and Silver was placed that low. But yeah, as we've gone through this list, I've realised how much rose-tinted glasses tends to affect your opinion on old games in the modern era. I was surprised at how little we actually got out of Portal 2, to be honest with you, considering it was paired with Portal 1. I genuinely thought we'd have been steady away with a full hour-long episode and struggling to get it down to an hour, whereas it took 20 to 30 minutes for us to go, well, shit.
Yeah, we must have been all over the place. I haven't got scores written down for everything. I did start writing them in the book, and then I just, as I tend to do, got bored of doing something and didn't do it for all of them. But we in the early stages must have been all over the place, because we gave Pokemon Gold and Silver a 71, and we gave Portal a 70, and I would not put those two games that close together.
No.
I think we were probably trying to be a bit stingy, I suppose, with the scores when we first started, because we knew, in theory, if this is 100, there should be better games coming.
Yeah.
We priced it low, shall we say, thinking there'd be stuff to go above it. And then it looks like, what, three or four episodes later, we got to Portal and we just threw that completely out the window and somehow gave it a 70. More out of pity than anything, I think, given that we couldn't really say anything about it. Looking at the other stuff there, Super Castlevania, I didn't mind it. I thought it was better than some of the games we've played, but I think the other Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, was it, that's coming up later, was just a generally better game, which it should be. Final Fantasy, you covered that one off. Number 9, is number 9 the weird one?
Number 10 is the really weird one that doesn't make any sense, that doesn't actually make the list, thankfully. Although I kind of get the feeling when we move on to doing the Sony games, I think it's in there. So we get to revisit that whole level of bullshittery when I come to discuss the plot. No, number 9's the goes back to the sort of traditional Dungeons and Dragons-y maids, wenches, knights in armour sort of thing. So it's one of the better ones, in my opinion, anyway.
Defender was a bit of a disappointment, but then that's just because of how old it is and the fact that neither of us really played it. So yeah, I think the worst out of those 10 is tough because I don't think any of them are terrible compared to some of the other games in the list, but I think you'd probably have to just go Defender or Super Castlevania, wouldn't you? Just Advance Wars was good for what it was. It was quite unique in terms of all the other games we've talked about on the list. Metal Gear Solid 3 isn't my favourite, but I can see that it's decent. Civilization 4 is a good game. It plays quite well. So I think for that one, we're going to have to give it to Defender, which is a bit harsh given everything it did for the industry. But because we've confined ourselves to grouping things in 10 again, we've just got to do it. We'll go for the next 10. So we've got, starting at 90, World of Warcraft, Streets of Rage, Quake, The Legend of Zelda, Final Fight, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Resident Evil, Super Mario Galaxy 2, and Turrican 2. Bit more competition for top spot. Probably not that much more competition for bottom spot. Let's get bottom spot out of the way and just put... I mean, it's Turrican, isn't it, out of those?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Definitively, yeah.
Which isn't, again, it's not the worst game. It looks really nice. We only covered it very recently. And yeah, we didn't have particularly complimentary things to say about it other than it looks quite nice. That's an easy pick for bottom. Now, when you come into top, there's some real contenders here. I mean, Legend of Zelda on NES would be up there for me. Streets of Rage would be up there for me. Resident Evil is a very difficult one. Oh, I missed Res as well. Sorry. It's right in the middle of the page. It's like a half a page spread, and I just completely overlooked that. So actually, Res and Turrican 2 probably would battle it out for that bottom spot. And I'd be tempted to give it to Res, actually. Because it's not a game. It's not a game at all. It's like a music creation thing, isn't it, from what I remember? Or is it? Or am I mixing it up with the other thing we paired it with?
No, it is. It's the music weird one. Thing. It's the keeping the beat, and then it makes up its own tune as you're going on with a sort of pulsing discotheque thing in the background.
Experimental, so credit for that, but... Yeah, I'd actually switch and give it to Res because as difficult Turrican is, it looks good, whereas Res looks like a right shit show, in my opinion. I mean, I know what it was going for, the aesthetic it was going for, fair enough, but I just don't like how it looks at all. It makes me think of that one in the Game On exhibit that we couldn't work out how to play.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what was it called now? Oh, it's just literally a line, isn't it? And you have to control.
Lines. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Vib ribbon.
Oh, yeah.
And we just couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, Res takes the bottom slot. Top slot, for me, I think it's a toss-up between Resident Evil, Streets of Rage, and Legend of Zelda, and I'm really struggling to split the three.
When you look at the rest in there, I mean, GTA San Andreas, that is one of the, in my personal opinion anyway, one of the better entries in the GTA series, but then again, I've got no love for the series as a whole anyway, so... It, my opinion, probably don't count for shit. And then you've got WoW in there as well, and it's just like it's been going on for decades, and it every year it systematically goes through and just blow tortures every other bit of competition it has, and people carry on playing it. People, other companies sort of go, ah, here's this new online MMO, and WoW just comes in at the end of the year and goes, nah, fuck off, and just pushes it to one side and just carries on. And it's just, it astounds me how well that game does.
I will say as well, that was one of my favourite episodes to do, the WoW one. Thanks again to Austin for coming on because we had such a good time just listening to him educate us on it and tell us all the stories about what had gone on it. That is up there for me in terms of not the game, but just how much fun we had talking about the game. But I think because neither of us have actually played it, we have to rule it out. I'm probably going to rule out Streets of Rage because, in my opinion, 2 is better than 1, and I'd always choose to play 2 over 1. San Andreas isn't my favourite GTA. I can get on with it, but Vice City will always be my number one, and then probably, I don't know, five, I'd say. But again, not played that massively either. So rule that out. So it, for me, it's coming down to Zelda and Resident Evil. And I think if I had the choice to play the NES Zelda or the PS1 Resident Evil, I would pick Resident Evil. I don't know if you agree with that.
I mean, if I sort of stepped away and thought about it and looked at it in terms of influence of the kinds of games I still like and I still play, I think if we hadn't had the first Legend of Zelda and we didn't get a Zelda series, I would probably be more devastated than if I didn't get Resident Evil.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I think if they did a remake of Legend of Zelda, which I'm amazed they still haven't done, like a modern graphics version of it, then yeah, that every time. But for me, I'd rather play the one that came out on the Switch, the remaster of the Game Boy one, or the Minish Cap or something, because it's essentially the same game. It just looks a lot nicer and it plays a little bit better. So that's why I personally went for Resi. But yeah, I can understand the argument for Zelda. I mean, neither of us have spoke up for Super Mario Galaxy 2, and I presume that's because it's shit. In my opinion, at least, it is one of the poorer Mario games for me. I just did not get on with either of those two, which we did cover in the episode.
I mean, it's not even that it's shit by, like, sort of like industry standards, really. I mean, we've talked through some dross in terms of both old games and modern releases as well. And it's just that it's a full price DLC for Mario Galaxy 1. That's all it is at the end of the day. There is no... I think they even copy the first level out of Mario Galaxy 1 into Mario Galaxy 2, and there are some repeated boss fights. And it's just like, it's just such a lazy effort cash-in, really. And I don't know why it's included on the list when Mario Galaxy is better and contains every... It doesn't do anything extra on top of Mario Galaxy 1, in my opinion. I just don't get it.
No, for me, I mean, I don't care for Mario Galaxy 1 that much either. I think within the sort of collection of 3D Mario games, it is by far and away the worst one. 64, Odyssey, Sunshine, all of those for me are far better. I'm not including the rubbish Super Mario 3D World ones because I don't particularly like those either. But out of the big hitter 3D Mario games, for me, it's the worst one because they've just gone, oh, an anti-gravity gimmick, and then just built the whole game around that one gimmick that I don't particularly like in the first place. And it is personal preference, but it's just, it just feels like a one-trick pony. I know with Sunshine you had Flood, and a lot of it was around Flood, but there were bits of it that weren't associated with Flood at all, weren't there? There was still your traditional Mario stuff in there. And I feel like in Galaxy, even though I know there is the odd bit of levels where you do a bit of climbing and stuff like that, at the end of the day, it all boils back down to this tiny little individual planets with a gravity system on them. And that's it. And that's just, for me, why I don't like it. And then, as you say, this isn't even that. This is something that they went, oh, we could have probably put all this on the first disc, but now here you go. Another 40 quid, please, and we'll churn this out. And I even feel like Nintendo don't really care about it, because they could have easily put it on the All-Stars, 3D All-Stars collection, if they'd have wanted to. And they left it off. So what does that tell you? Unless they're planning to rinse us again and put like that and Odyssey together in a collection or something. Consensus is probably worst would be Res, and best Zelda or Resident Evil. We'll have a couple on that one because we both want them in that position for different reasons, don't we? The next 10 we've got at 80 and going up, down, up the list, I suppose, in technically. We've got Command & Conquer, Silent Hill 2, Donkey... It threw me then, because every other game in this book, they've just named the game, and then for Donkey Kong Country, they've put Kevin Bayliss on Donkey Kong Country, and I thought it was some sort of weird spin-off. But no, it's just that they've interviewed somebody about this one. So strange, the formatting in this book. But yeah, I'll start again. Command & Conquer, Silent Hill 2, Donkey Kong Country, it nearly got me again, Uncharted 2, Final Fantasy X, so it is in the list. We did talk about it.
Jesus.
Sonic 3 & Knuckles, Metroid Prime, The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, Mario Kart 64, and Red Dead Redemption. So I think we're going to argue here over the best. In terms of the worst, that's a tough one.
I'd probably have to go with something like Red Dead Redemption, mostly because it just didn't speak to me as a game, really. Neither one of them, neither it or its sequel, really grabbed me.
I was going Red Dead, Final Fantasy X, but probably the two for me, and that's... I know that they're both good games, objectively, but for me, I played Red Dead a lot more than I've ever played any of the Final Fantasies, so for me it would be Final Fantasy X. I mean, Uncharted 2, again, objectively a very good game. I didn't get into it loads, but I can appreciate why it's held in the regard that it is. Silent Hill 2, fantastic. The original Command & Conquer. Red Alert was the good one, wasn't it? I mean, Command & Conquer 1 did a lot, but if you go back and play it now, brutally difficult. And it was the one that started it, wasn't it? So you can't really put it as the worst in this 10, even though comparatively it is not a great entry in the series when you look where it went, but you could say that about a lot of games, I suppose. Donkey Kong Country, fantastic. Sonic 3 and Knuckles is my personal choice for best out of these 10, but I know you're going to go with Metroid Prime, I suspect.
Yeah, and that's mostly for nostalgia points as well, really.
Same for me, really. I mean, Sonic 3 and Knuckles isn't... I mean, Sonic 2 Mega Drive, I think, is the one that everyone holds in the highest regard, isn't it? But I always preferred Sonic 3 and Knuckles because I like Knuckles. He's always been my favourite since he was introduced, so that's why I go for that. But yeah, I think we're going to have to go with a joint top again in terms of Sonic 3 and Knuckles and Metroid Prime. And bottom, I think it's Red Dead or Final Fantasy. We'll have to go for a double on that as well, because I don't think we're going to come to a consensus on that one. And then looking at the other ones in it, as I say, Silent Hill 2, brilliant, if not one of the darkest episodes we've had when we were talking about that one. Donkey Kong Country, for me, gets in on the music alone. And then you add in the fantastic gameplay and the fact you could do it two-player, which was really not innovative at the time, although a lot of Nintendo's games prior to that had been past the pad two-player, hadn't they? Like Mario.
Yeah.
Take a turn each, so to get both people on the screen at the same time helping each other out and whatnot was quite a novel experience. Oblivion, fantastic game, but showing its age now, and one that you probably wouldn't go back to now you've got Skyrim, I would say.
Yeah, if we were sort of ranking them in that respect, I'd probably push Oblivion down towards the bottom of the list. So I'd probably, to be fair, I'd probably put Final Fantasy X at the bottom just for the fucking bizarre story. And I mean, I played it a lot, and I don't know, Final Fantasy games can sort of push that envelope of being quirky or outlandish storylines, but X was just, you're a basketball player from the future and everything's a dream and everyone's fighting a giant whale monster that can manipulate time. What are you talking about, Square Enix? Whereas Red Dead is at least sort of, you could see it being a TV series, sort of like, God, what's it called? The West...
Westworld, was it?
Westworld. Sort of like that. Sort of not actual historical representation, but a sort of themed TV series, and you could sort of get away with it. Final Fantasy, it'd take you 6 months to get a series going where you could understand what was going on, let alone the plot moving forwards. And then I'd put Oblivion just above Red Dead, because there are chunks of its gameplay where it is just and brown.
Yeah.
And red sky and walking through the Oblivion side of the game.
It's the Oblivion Gates, isn't it?
Soulless.
Yeah, the Oblivion Gates are the worst bit about it. And when you think that that's what the game's named after, they really should have put a bit more effort into those bits, I feel like. So yeah, the other one, Mario Kart 64. Not the best Mario Kart, but at the time, the one that turned everything around, wasn't it? Because we're not fans of the SNES one, I think it's safe to say. And this one really set it on its path, didn't it, to where it's gone today. So hard to be too harsh on that one, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Next 10, and I think I can already see what's getting best, but we will go through them anyway. We're starting at 70 and working towards 1. I don't even know which way around to say it anymore, so I'll just go with that. Secret of Mana, The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, Mega Man 2, Sega Rally Championship, Rainbow Islands, UFO Enemy Unknown, Banjo-Kazooie, Star Wars, Civilization, and Portal. Do you want to do best game? Just get it out of the way.
I think Majora's is going to have to take this one. For me, anyway.
It's close to being best game on the list, never mind this 10. So yeah. It's difficult to give it to anything else, isn't it? We've talked about it in depth in the episode, and I'm sure we will talk about Majora's Mask again going forward. There's so much meat left on that bone that we've not covered. It's unbelievable, so I'm sure we'll come back to that. If we can get in the same room at the same time and figure out how to record it, we might even do a playthrough or start a playthrough at the very least. I don't know if we'll finish it, but that'd be fun to do. Probably not on original software, because I don't know how you connect an N64 up to a capture card these days. It's probably possible, but I'm sure there's some sort of remake we can play and give that a whirl, just so we can experience it again, because it's been a good few years for me since I've actually played it now. Probably the 3DS one, and I didn't finish that. Yeah, everything else, Sega Rally Championship's down there for me, if we're talking about worse than this 10. But then, I mean, this is what we're talking about. You've got to the 60s, and now there's games in this bit that I feel like should be in the 100 to 90 bracket, if not on the list at all. I mean, we were very complimentary to Star Wars. It was, for its time, brilliant. But again, 100 games to play before you die. Would you spend time on this when this list doesn't have the likes of Crash Bandicoot, Spyro, Croc, dare I say it? And I mean, I'm pushing with Croc, but I still would play it more than I would the original arcade Star Wars game. Gex the Gecko, that would be in there for me as well, although that is 100% nostalgia points, I think. Civilization 1, though, for me, that is baffling, how that's so high up in the list, when 4 is so low in the list, when it's in every measurable metric a much better game. I know this is what started it, but that is much better in every possible way, so why would anyone choose to play the original, which is very, very dated? Unless you were that person that played it back then, in which case, 100 games to play before you die, you've done it, so you don't need to do it again.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just a very strange choice to be so high at 62. And previous position, so on the previous list to this one that they did, it was 29. That's how highly it was. I mean, I think that speaks to the fact that the readers of Retro Gamer magazine are probably more PC-based than anything else.
Yeah.
Especially for the previous list. It looks like maybe more console gamers started picking up the magazine between that and this one, and that's why you're getting the movement on it. But yeah, that for me, Civilization, I mean, Portal 1, I don't like very much either. So there's a real... I mean, it's coming to something when when Rainbow Islands is not even in the debate for the worst out of these 10. And UFO Enemy Unknown, because that's the one that's like a million and one menus, isn't it? Like submenu after submenu. We're not even considering that. For me, I'd probably go Sega Rally Championship just because I don't like driving games.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that.
It's probably one that people enjoyed because you got it in the arcade with the bucket seat and the gear shift and the wheel and everything. So that's where it gets its points from, I suppose. Whereas Civilization is just... I mean, it's a board game ported to a computer that doesn't play very well anymore. So I would be tempted to go with that one. And I know there's probably Civ fans out there now beating the shit out of whatever they're listening on and cursing us out. But I'm sorry, it just isn't a good game anymore when you've got much better iterations to play. Same as with Zelda, really. That's why I didn't give Zelda the top spot in that 10, because there's better versions of Zelda now that do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, we follow that through. That's the same here. So, next 10, 60 and upwards, we've got Mass Effect 2, Paradroid, just let that one sink in, Pokemon Red and Blue, Bioshock, Dungeon Master, Jet Set Willy, Dark Souls, Shadow of the Colossus, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and Sensible Soccer. So again, top spot. It's Pokemon Red and Blue, isn't it? I think it's the second highest score we've given on the list. So it's hard to argue for anything else. Although BioShock, depending on what kind of game you're in the mood for, I would say rivals it, because they're two, they're not in the same bracket by any comparison, are they? It's probably fair to say that they're the top two in this lot. I mean, do you want to argue for Shadow of the Colossus, or have you decided that's a losing battle?
That is a losing battle. But Mass Effect 2 as well.
Yeah.
This part of the list, this in the 60s, has been one of the more challenging to sort of say definitively, oh yeah, this is the best one. Because there are so many good contenders, and I'm assuming that's why they're in the sort of 50s, 60s, because they are just generally solid games. They're not groundbreaking in any sort of major area. But the Pokemon thing is just the freight train that the franchise has become, all stemmed from this one title. Mass Effect 2 is the peak of the Mass Effect series. And same with BioShock, really. BioShock was the peak of the BioShock series, or the Shock series anyway, because you had System Shock 1 and 2, which were okay. BioShock 2 wasn't great, and Infinite was very good, but not as good as the first one.
And practically a different game by the time you get to that point again. I think, it's worth saying as well, like we just said with Civilization, it's the first one, but it's not as good as the sequels. I don't think you can necessarily say that about Pokemon Red and Blue. Not for me.
No.
I think Red and Blue is as good as anything they've put out, in my opinion. Yeah, some of the later ones are far more detailed and there's more to do and there's more post-game, blah, blah, blah. But for me, and it could be just the nostalgia of it all, I think Red and Blue are just the perfect Pokemon game. Even in terms of the graphics, I wouldn't change the graphics on it and make them all snazzy in 3D. Like, Let's Go Pikachu was good, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I did playing that. And I could go back to that a million times and play Red and Blue through again and not particularly be bored of it. And it probably is nostalgia speaking, because Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are probably better games than it. They look nicer and for a new generation. But for me, I don't think they're no worse and they're no better, if you know what I mean. I could still mount a good case for Red and Blue being a fantastic game, whereas if somebody played Civilization 1 and then 4, I don't think I could argue that 1 is worth playing.
No.
And there's your difference.
I think with Red and Blue, the only thing that you could do, really, would be to change some of the sprite work, because some of the Pokemon do not look like they are supposed to, and that is because this is the originator, and then you get the TV series afterwards. So if you then based the sprite work on how they look in the cartoon, that'd be slightly better. Sort of like they did with Yellow,
where
they made it look more reflective. And then just speed it up a tad. That would be the walking pace, because it is very languid, is the nicest way I can put it, really. It is a slow game, but not the pacing of the story. It is just getting from A to B is a chore, unless you've got the bike.
Yeah, so exactly,
just
yeah.
Pick the pace up a little bit, and I think it would just be even better than it currently is, but not by much.
It's almost like they got to the bike bit and went, that's a bit slow, this. We need to put something in to speed it up. Let's not go back and just make him walk faster. Let's introduce a bike that you can get, and then you can whiz around on that, and then we can do a cycling road and it all makes sense. They just went with that. Yeah, and then BioShock, like you say, probably the best entry, because what BioShock 1 did, there wasn't many other games doing the same thing in terms of that spooky first person, using the environment more than the enemies that are in it to freak you out, I think is the best way to describe it. Similar to Condemned. I don't think there's any enemies in Condemned that are as scary as just walking around the environment, not knowing what you're going to expect next.
Yeah.
And that's very similar to BioShock. Jet Set Willy surprised me in how much affection I had for that, because I thought that was going to be one of those, we've nothing to talk about, we don't really like it, it's old. I had played it back in the day, I didn't have much of a memory of it, but then reading into the story of it and the behind the scenes and everything, and the fact that it was one guy in a bedroom at 14 or whatever he was, it's just phenomenal to be able to come out with that at the time. I mean, I think we said it in the episode, but that is just like a 14-year-old going into the bedroom and programming, like, I don't know, like a Fallout type game, just completely on his own. at the time, this was as good as it got, wasn't it, for gaming consoles? And it's one of those things that I just don't think it could happen now.
No, and I think that's probably what surprised me most about Jet Set, Willy. The fact that we've looked at some games that we've watched, like, Let's Plays of, because they aren't available on modern media, and we've watched them and we've gone, oh, there's nothing really to that. So we've looked a little bit into the background, and then you look into the background and you go, oh, well, there's f*** all to say about it anyway, because it's made by Sega or whoever. It's a massive corporation, and they've just shat out this new series thing, and it's got proper developers behind it. Whereas with Jet Set Willy, you sort of look at it and go, oh, there's not really a lot you can say about it massively on in terms of gameplay. Let's have a look at the history behind it. And you go, wow, the level of how impressive it is from what it came from. You do sort of go, oh, well, that's actually quite nice. And there is quite a nice story behind it. And granted, the latter part of the story, not so much. But its origins. And you do sort of go, oh, wow, the game's not all that, but it is given where it's come from. So it does give you that little bit more affection towards it.
I think I compared it to Fallout there. I think the better comparison is probably, is it Viewpoint that's just won that BAFTA?
Yes.
Because this game had visuals in it that you weren't seeing from anyone else. The sprite work that he managed to get out of it wasn't seen. And do you know what I mean? It looks so impressive. And you look at it now and go, it isn't. But if you look at that compared to everything else that was available at the time, where it's literally squares and dots on a screen moving about, and then he's got full, like, faces, animated faces that move around and stuff like that. That is similar to that, how I'd put the Viewpoint thing that's just come out, because that won the BAFTA for, was it innovation or something along those lines? Yeah. Like, because it's something completely new and it looks fantastic. And that's the same thing, but that wasn't one person in their bedroom. Whereas this was at the age of 14, so I think it deserves credit for that and that alone. And the fact that it isn't the most fun game to play, back then it probably wasn't far off. So I know we're quite hypocritical sometimes when we talk about certain games, because we slate something for being terrible, but then something like this we sing its praises. But I think the fact that you've got to look at more than just the gameplay in this instance, and just see how much behind-the-scenes stuff there is to investigate on it and why it deserves that position for what it is as a whole, not just the game itself. I mean, the same way as I think we said in one of the episodes, I think you said it, E.T. is probably as important to the gaming industry as Mario is, because if that hadn't have tanked it, Nintendo probably wouldn't have done the NES. So as bad as it is, it's still really important, and that's probably got a bigger shout than some of these games for one to play before you die, just to see what that piece of history looked like and played like. And it's not always about being the best, I suppose, is it? We sort of look past that. When you're looking at the 100 games to play before you die, I suppose there's reasons to look at other games that aren't just because they're incredibly good. And we've probably lost sight of that. So maybe we need to do an episode looking at it from that angle. See if we can come up with any other games like E.T. that break the mold, I suppose, and have a significant part in gaming history.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it is worth going back and attempting to play E.T. for the Atari. And attempting is the best word I can use, because you're not getting much fun out of it. I mean, E.T. for a start looks like an old-style rotary telephone. just farting around, because he makes little blah 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 noises he's sort of farting around the overworld, and you die if you go near a pit or potentially anywhere near one. Or
you fall in the pit, don't you, and then he like elongates his neck to get back out, which doesn't make any sense. It's a very strange one, but it's worth a look. In terms of best, it's got to be Pokemon Red and Blue in this section. And in terms of worst, I think it's got to be Paradroid, doesn't it? Because we didn't even give that the time of day, because we looked at it and went, no, definitely not. And that was it.
And that's the stark comparison between it and Jet Set Willy. You look at it and you go, there's nothing to say about it. You look into its development and you go, there's even less to say about it, potentially, than it's or it for what it is, meh. Whereas Jet Set Willy actually has something interesting to talk about.
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic I wasn't a fan of, but I know it's got its fans. Shadow of the Colossus, same again. One of them sat there, one of them that hates it sat here. So very poles apart. Dark Souls would have had a shout for being up there if it weren't in a category of 10 that are so good in other areas. And there's other Dark Souls games on here, I think, isn't there? So they might be in with a shout when we get to them, I think. I forget. There's so many games on this list. I mean, Sensible Soccer at 51 is massively pushed up the list. As much as I love that game and I've played it so much, one, it's very high at 51, and two, in about 5 minutes' time, you'll see another reason I disagree with it being at 51. So let's go 50 and upwards. So we've got Doom 2. We've got Deus Ex. Again, let that one sink in. Robotron 2084. So Deus Ex has got some competition in this 10. Pac-Man. Lemmings. Speedball 2 Brutal Deluxe. Sensible World of Soccer. Resident Evil, but that is the original, so the one from earlier on must have been the remake, I assume.
Yeah.
Super Mario Galaxy 1 and R-Type.
Oh, this sort of takes a pivot on the last couple of matches yeah. that we've had. And this is trying to actually find something that's the best out of this.
I mean, Doom 2, good. Better than Doom 1, arguably.
Yeah.
In terms of gameplay and how much better it got, Doom 1 is obviously this is the one that started it all again that we've talked about for other franchises. But Doom 2, I'd say, is probably the better game if you're just side-by-side in them. Deus Ex is terrible. Robotron 2084 is terrible. Pac-Man, we weren't very complimentary to. Lemmings, again, it's one of those. It's a bit Marmite, isn't it, Lemmings? You either absolutely love the challenge and the stress of it or you absolutely hate it. And I think because of my experiences with it, I now fall into the hate side of it and would struggle to play it these days without getting really frustrated. Speedball 2 Brutal Deluxe, again, not a great game. Even worse given what they've done with the franchise and turned it into a massive microtransaction nightmare. Sensible World of Soccer is actually in with a shout of being the best out of this 10, which is amazing when you think about we've just add the other one near the bottom. But this is what I disagree with, because this is the same game. Sensible World of Soccer and Sensible Soccer, at its core gameplay level, are the same game. It doesn't do anything different. It's just World of Soccer adds a manager mode and some more tournaments and stuff. So like you say, bit like a DLC, but obviously back in the day that wasn't a thing. When Sensible Soccer was around, it had to be a new launch because you couldn't download stuff. You had to go out and buy it on disc. But yeah, just an upgrade, essentially. The actual gameplay doesn't change, so I don't think both of those games should be taking up places in the list, but this is the better one of the two. So it's at least they're in the right order. I mean, it's got to be Resident Evil, hasn't it, for the best out of these?
Yeah, I'd have to say so, because I'd rather play it than anything else. I mean, the graphics are dated now, massively dated, because it's old PS1 era. But yeah, everything else is just sort of a meh from this bit.
What did the remake do wrong for them not to be flipped is what I want to know.
I'm assuming because it's less revolutionary, it is just a graphic upgrade and a slight rejig of the house and adding in sort of like crimson heads and stuff like that. It's nothing groundbreaking like Resident Evil 4, for example, which completely flipped the formula on its head. And this was sort of like the progenitor. So you can't get better than that, really, other than to just zhuzh and pretty the graphics up a bit.
So we think this essentially got 43 because of its place in gaming history rather than it being better than the remake, which, again, side by side isn't. Mario Galaxy, we've already covered, not a fan, won't go into that again. And then R-Type surprised me because I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I didn't really think I'd get much out of that, and I actually did play it for quite a while, but not in with a shout of beating Resident Evil or Sensible Soccer for me.
No, it's I think the thing that pulls R-Type down is just how hard it is.
Yeah.
Even against games of both its era and its sort of genre, it is a hard game, and I struggle to get past that, really. Where dying, even in the first level, you keep dying over and over and over and over. And you're just like, do you know what? If this is the first level of the game, fuck this.
Within like the first 2 minutes, there's a bottleneck, isn't there? And you just get pinned in it and die like five times before you work out what to do. Resident Evil, top. I'd say Sensible World of Soccer, for me personally, close second. I know it's not a fond place in your heart, but I did play that. The manager mode on that was so much fun, just because of the creepy, scary 3D graphics managers that would shout at you if you lost. And it was just, it was like Championship Manager, but you were more involved because you actually had to play the games. And unless you were good at Sensible Soccer, it didn't matter who you signed, you were still getting relegated and you were still going to get fired. So there was a real element of jeopardy, and also an element of like success when you did get better and you started winning games. And the little cutscenes that played when you actually won were a massive endorphin hit, because you never expected it to happen and you finally managed to scrape a win and you get this bit of praise. And it just, for a kid of my age playing that, it was like, yeah, this is Championship Manager, but on like steroids. So that's probably why I rate it up there so highly. I mean, it's a race to the bottom for the worst out of these. You've got Deus Ex, Robotron. I won't include Pac-Man, because as much as we didn't like it, I can see what position it's got in the gaming history. And actually, to be fair, playing it a game on that cabinet that looked like it had the speed turn up to about 200, it was quite fun. So I give it credit for that. That was quite fun. I wouldn't put Lemmings down there, because, again, it's a local-ish developer, and it was, for its time, a phenomenon, wasn't it? You couldn't go anywhere without seeing Lemmings for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, we ragged on Pac-Man somewhat chronic, really, but I would rather play Pac-Man than Deus Ex. Having recently played Deus Ex, I just couldn't anymore. It's just not fun at all.
It's a chore, isn't it? And it's a long chore. At least Pac-Man's done in 2 minutes and you can move on. Deus Ex, if you want to get to the end of that game, you are in for some punishment for hours of your life.
Yeah.
I honestly think, as much as we didn't really put much stock in Robotron 2084, I think Deus Ex, again, is objectively a worse game, in my opinion. And the one out of these 10 I'd least like to play again.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you can say about all the other games in this particular section is stuff happens in them. Whereas Deus Ex, not a lot does for quite a long time. So you're just like, right, okay, I'll just plod to the end of this corridor, talk to this bloke. Right, okay, spend some of my experience points. What do I want to upgrade? Nothing, really, because I don't want to be playing this game in the first place.
It's honestly, it's down there with one of the worst games on the list for me in terms of what I had to experience playing it. I was so excited when I bought it for like a quid, and I was like, oh, I can actually properly sink my teeth into this one rather than having to watch Let's Plays or it be a game I've already experienced. I finally get to experience something new. And then I played it for like an hour and I was like, I don't want to ever play this again in my life if I can help it. I'd rather go to the dentist and have a root canal than suffer through this again. Right, let's move on to the 40s. 40 and up, we've got Super Mario Brothers, that's the original, Half-Life, Tomb Raider, Final Fantasy VI, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge, Bubble Bobble, Chrono Trigger, Resident Evil 2, and Grand Theft Auto 5. So we've gone from one that's got nothing in it we particularly like to an absolutely stacked group in this one. I mean, Super Mario Brothers, the classic, you can't say anything negative about that, really. I don't think there is anything. I'm surprised it's as low as 40 in this list, because it is, I could still play it now, and I can't say that about many games from that era. It's still got enough to hook you in and keep you interested now. And yeah, there's the remake versions of it and stuff. But again, similar to Pokemon, I don't think they add that much, because the graphics from that original Mario is so well done and so iconic that when you change them into the new graphic style, it almost detracts from it a little bit to play that game in the new style.
Yeah, it loses some of its charm, and I think the playability's affected as well. I don't know what it is about modern 3D side-scrolling Mario games, not including Mario Wonder, because that just clicks. There's something about it that just works. Whereas when they've tried to remake the old Marios in sort of 2.5D, it technically is what it is, because they're 3D assets, but in a 2D plane, I just think it loses something in terms of playability. There's always something like Crash Bandicoot where it sanded all the edges off the hitboxes. So it just made it that little bit more janky to play, whereas this one, because it was designed with those 2D assets in mind, it just clicks and it just works very well.
And you just look at the graphics on it for that era, like how good the shading is on the pipes. Such a small thing, but how good those pipes look and how round they've made a flat object to look just by shading. The clouds look like they don't belong in an 8-bit game. The clouds look like they should be in like an SNES at least game. The brick blocks look fantastic. The question mark blocks, the way they sparkle, looks fantastic. It's just, I think Mario is probably the worst looking part of it, and he doesn't even look that bad. But the backgrounds and some of the level objects and stuff are just so good. Yeah, it's hard to say anything negative about that. Half-Life, meh. We'll skip past that one. Tomb Raider 1, again, did something completely new and changed the game, and is still talked about now, and there's been... you look at the franchise it spawned. I wouldn't say bigger than Mario, but it's... in terms of the reach of it into regular non-gaming culture, you've had films. Everyone knows who Lara Croft is as much as everyone knows who Mario is, I would say. So it's still got that reach. Not my favourite games, I won't say, especially the first one. It is very, very difficult to control now if you go back to it. But for what it did at the time, I think it deserves to be up there. Final Fantasy... is it 6? Yeah. Final Fantasy 6, I haven't played. I know you have. It's a 2D one, which endears me towards it more than the later ones. But I wouldn't put it top or bottom in this 10.
No.
Wind Waker, not my favourite Zelda, as good as it is. So I think it's hard to put that in with a shout of being the best out of these 10 as well. Again, as good as it is. Monkey Island 2 is my personal shout for being the best of these just because of the memories I've got, but I accept that it isn't the best game out of these 10. It is just because I love that game so much. Bubble Bobble, again, one that we got far more out of than we expected to. There's a lot to be said about that game. It is one of the earliest gaming memories I've got is playing Bubble Bobble, so I will always have that nostalgia for it as well. But it's a difficult one to play for a long time now, I would say. It's one of those where you might play 10, 15 minutes in periods. It's almost a mobile phone game now, isn't it? It's one of those that if you sat on the bus, you'd play for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's also a difficult one to recommend. It's not something that you'd be like, oh my God, you need to play this game. It because of how sort of, like you say, very mobile game-esque. That you could recommend it. It's not like it's not got the addictive aspect as something like Candy Crush or that sort of kit kind of game. So it's very difficult to recommend either or, really. You'd tell someone to pick up Candy Crush for the instant gratification you get in sort of a short burst game, and you couldn't recommend it as a full game to someone to really get your teeth into because it just, after a while, it had grate up against the nerves, I think.
Yeah. And then we've got, I mean, Chrono Trigger, great game, but it's in the middle of this set. And then Resident Evil 2 and Grand Theft Auto 5. For me, Resident Evil 2 wins this 10 hands down because it's the one I've played the most of. As much as I love Monkey Island, I've played Resident Evil 2 a lot more and would probably go back to it. Monkey Island, as good as they are, they're almost one-shots, aren't they? At least for a decade, maybe. Because once you've done it once, you can't go back and play it next week because you know what to do. You know all the... it's like reading a good book. You can come back to it in 10 years' time and read it again and probably enjoy it, but you couldn't read it the week after because you know what's coming, and that's the same for the Monkey Island games. Whereas Resident Evil 2, you know what's coming, but there's this element of skill and stuff to it and picking up little bits. I think the more you play Resident Evil 2 and the more you read the files and stuff, the more you absorb, and you always seem to notice something new when you come back to it.
I think you can also say that Resident Evil 2 has actually spawned a very worthy remake or remaster, whatever you want to call it. The problem I have with GTA 5 is it seems to be the de facto GTA experience now. I mean, they've monetized it out the ass with how many remakes, remasters, re-releases, ports, the bloody online mode that people have sunk thousands, if not millions of pounds into. And GTA 6 just seems to be that elusive, oh, it's coming soon.
Yeah.
It's coming soon. Whereupon it will probably dethrone GTA 5 and get remade, re-released, online play for another 20 years after it is released. So it will just replace it as the epitome of the GTA game.
I get the feeling that if Rockstar really wanted to do GTA 6, they could have had it out 2 years ago. But they've gone, well, we've just done another re-release and it sold well and the online's making a shitload of money. Yeah. Why would we want to push a new game out yet? Let's just keep putting tiny little bits into the online mode that people will pay a fortune for. And then, yeah, we'll keep 6 on the back burner. Maybe wait for the next console generation now, I don't know. And just see how it goes. And it's a good business model, I suppose, but it's one that you wouldn't have seen back when we were gamers because it just wasn't possible to do that, was it? It was, you got what was on the cartridge or the disc and that was it. You waited for the next installment to come out.
Yeah.
And you can't be mad at them for doing it. It's just, I think you're right, it's been absolutely milked to death. I can't play it now because it just annoys me. The online game, you couldn't get into it now, I don't think, as a new player, surely. It's gone that far that where would you even start? There's always going to be people that are way ahead of you on it. And then the offline game, I don't mind. I can play it, but I've played it that much without actually finishing it. Like you said about a few games, I know the first hour of that game really well, and then I don't really know much after that. In terms of worst in these 10, I mean, I think it's Final Fantasy and Bubble Bobble fighting it out, and maybe Half-Life.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to say when you look at this list and some of the other groups of 10. But I think probably Bubble Bobble, as much as I love it, it's got the least going for it in that group of 10 games.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that.
30 and up, we've got Manic Miner, which is a double page spread, so bear with me while I get onto the next page. We've got Fallout 3, Sonic the Hedgehog, the original, for Mega Drive, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, spoiler, I might bleep that, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Halo Combat Evolved, Super Metroid, Outrun, and Elite. Straight in at worst. I think it's got to be Elite, hasn't it?
Followed closely by Outrun.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, but I think I get more pleasure out of Outrun than I ever could do out of Elite.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
At least Outrun in the arcade's quite fun. Mm. So we'll give it that. In terms of best, I think it's, you're looking at Vice City, Super Metroid, the game that I've bleeped that we can't talk about yet. Sonic, I mean, nearly all of them, again, to be fair. It's easy to pick the worst one. It's getting very hard to pick the best one now. Yeah, Fallout 3, I love. Sonic 1, I love. But I'd go for Sonic 3 and Knuckles before I played Sonic 1 again. So, rule that out. Castlevania, not really my type of game, although I did enjoy Symphony of the Night a lot more than I thought I would. The bleeped game we'll come back to in a couple more episodes' time. Vice City is my favourite Grand Theft Auto of any of them. And I know Super Metroid's one of your favourite games, isn't it?
Yeah, like you say, it is a challenging one to split out, really.
Halo I'm ruling out because I never liked Halo. I don't know if you want it in the argument, no. So Super Metroid or GTA, I would probably say. Potentially Fallout 3, because it is the best Fallout game.
I think you'd probably have to push Fallout 3 down, mostly because of the ending that they had to redact, and because you didn't get any end game content because of how the game ended. Yeah. And then they sort of bullshitted their way out of it with the DLC, which kind of strikes me as a bit wrong, really.
Yeah.
Whereas Super Metroid and GTA came from a time when you didn't get DLC. They were complete packages of games.
Yeah, I'll go with GTA Vice City, and you can have Super Metroid. We'll have two on this one.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, in terms of bottom, it's got to be Elite, hasn't it? It was just not a fun game to play. So, we're in the 20s now. Half-Life 2, The Secret of Monkey Island, Streets of Rage 2, Shenmue 2, The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, Metal Gear Solid, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Street Fighter 2, Super Mario Kart, and Super Mario Brothers 3. So a lot of twos in there, I noticed, as I was reading through them. Which, yeah, the sequels in this seem to generally place higher than the originals for almost everything, apart from Civilization, for some reason. So Half-Life 2, nah, ruling that one out straight away for best. And for worst, probably, if we're being fair. Yeah. Secret of Monkey Island, again, absolutely love it, but that's a personal thing, I suppose. Can't really lobby for that to be the best. Streets of Rage 2, again, really one I grew up on, so one of my favourite games, but very repetitive, very sort of one-shotty. You play it once and you put it down and come back to it in a couple of weeks' time. You don't sit there and plough through it. Skyrim, I think, is up there with a shout for me. Don't know if you agree with that one.
I mean, just for how many times, similar to GTA 5, it is now the definitive Elder Scrolls experience. I mean, they've even got the Elder Scrolls Online, which is should be the de facto Elder Scrolls experience because it's still supported now. It's still got a live, active community. But because of how much they've really pushed the Skyrim envelope, I don't think we will be getting a new Elder Scrolls game for quite a while. Just because of how well Skyrim does still to this day.
They've teased it, haven't they? But that's Bethesda. I think if Starfield had done better, we definitely wouldn't have done. But because Starfield was a bit middling, I don't know if they're going to go back to what they know and potentially do this or Fallout 5. I mean, Fallout's a number behind, isn't it? So in theory, you'd expect them to do that. But then Fallout 4 came out after Skyrim. So in chronological order, you should get an Elder Scrolls next. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I've started playing Skyrim again this week and got right back into it again. And it gives me a headache if I play it too long. But I need to. I've figured out my sort of boundary of how long I can play it without my head starting hurting. So I've been chunking it up and I'm doing all right. And I've found stuff playing it this time that I never found the last time I played it, despite being in the same areas. It's just bizarre how you can completely miss things when you think you've covered the entire map twice over, and then I've just found NPCs that I've never spoke to before and that give me missions I've never seen. It's amazing. And then you've got Metal Gear Solid 1, which is a great game, but I don't think it's in the shout for the best in this. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is really up there for me, but I don't think it quite beats Skyrim in terms of hours played for me. Definitely not. Yeah. I love Sonic 2, but yeah, I do prefer Sonic 3 and Knuckles, as we covered earlier on, so I can't really argue for that one. And then worst, do we even need to discuss what the worst out of those 10 were? I mean, if you've listened to the Shenmue episode, you know what's... you know which one's coming there. It's an easy out whenever that name comes up in any group of 10 games on here. So, Shenmue's the worst. Are we saying Skyrim for the best?
Yeah, I'd say so. I just can't understand. I know we said it in the episode that we did. I can't understand how both entries of Shenmue got so high on this list. I just can't. It is nostalgia blindness at its finest. Because they are just not fun at all.
And we're probably really, really guilty of nostalgia blindness in a lot of what we've said, but...
yeah.
This is beyond the pale of how people can still play this now and go, it's brilliant, when it controls like garbage, like real garbage. And it's just, like you say, it's just boring, busy work for like 70% of the game. Nothing happens. Like, yes, there's a lot of fetch quests and whatnot in Skyrim, but at least in between that, you're fighting stuff. And you're upgrading your weapons and you're exploring and you're discovering and you've got this beautiful world to look at while you're doing it. And then you look at Shenmue and it's a chore to get him to go in the right direction. Never mind anything else. It just beggars belief. But go and listen to the Shenmue episode if you want to hear us moan about that in much more detail. And find out if we've seen the black car in the middle of the rainstorm or whatever it bloody was. I've tried to burn that quote from my brain after we recorded that episode. I mean, Street Fighter 2, again, great game, but not our genre of game, I don't think.
No.
Super Mario Kart, we've already covered on SNES, makes us both ill. So we'd much rather play the N64 or beyond version. And then Super Mario Brothers 3, I mean, that's in with a shout, but again, same bracket as Sonic now for me. I enjoy playing it, but I couldn't play it for hours, whereas I've literally sunk full days into Skyrim without moving. If I didn't have to go to the toilet, there was probably days where I could have just literally sat in a chair for 7 hours and played that game. So I think Skyrim has to take that group. And we're into the top 10, or top 9 for you listeners, because we won't be revealing number 1 for obvious reasons. So number 10, GoldenEye 007, Resident Evil 4, Doom, Final Fantasy 7, The Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past, Super Mario 64, Tetris, Shenmue, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, and which we won't be covering at the minute. Although, probably wouldn't come in with a shout in this category anyway, even if we did mention it, but I won't go into that. So, this is really difficult now, isn't it? I mean, worst, easy. The only argument here is whether it's Shenmue or Tetris, and I think it's Shenmue, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, just because I really want to stick the middle finger up at the people that love it so much and have and say it is the best game of all time, and you just think no, it's not. And how dare you get two entries in the top 20 when other series are far more deserving of being in that position? Tetris, I would rather play Tetris than Shenmue easily, and I think then it's followed closely by GoldenEye. And again, I think that's more because of how much people say, oh my God, it still holds up today. It doesn't. It really doesn't. It's the control scheme's janky as hell. And that's because it was on the N64 that didn't have dual analog sticks. So no, it doesn't.
I mean, I would rather than play Shenmue, get on a transatlantic flight with my Game Boy, fire up Tetris and then find out my batteries are dead and just stare at a dead Game Boy for 8 hours than play Shenmue. I'd get more pleasure out of looking at the Game Boy screen blank with nothing on it than I would trying to fight my way through that game again. In terms of best, Resident Evil 4 or Ocarina? I mean, Super Mario 64, fantastic, but I'd rather play Odyssey now.
Yeah.
It does hold up, unlike GoldenEye. The control's still fine, I think. But it just isn't as good, in my opinion. I think it's... I've got to the point with 64, I've played it too much now. And I know everything about it, and I don't find any challenge or fun in it that much. I get that hit of nostalgia, and I still enjoy playing it to an extent. But if I restarted Odyssey, there are huge chunks of that game I won't remember how to play because I've only played through it once, and it is still a better game, in my opinion. So 64 did a lot, and we owe it a lot, I think, and it is a really, really fond part of my childhood. But I would choose to play Odyssey instead, and that means I can't say it's the best in these 10, personally.
Yeah, I also find the control scheme a little janky these days because it's... The whole manually having to move the camera around
is
a bit awkward when you're trying to take precision platforming into 3D. It was of its time, completely appreciate that, but I struggle to play it now just because free roaming camera has just sort of ruined the experience for me.
I mean, there are games now that have a worse camera than that are coming out in like 2023-2024, so they did it within their bounds, and the fact they explain it as being a Lakitu on a cloud with a camera and you can control him is superb. I think that works brilliantly. But yeah, it's just been done better now, hasn't it? And if you could... I don't think they even... Did they change it for the DS port? Or is the DS port still the same where you control the camera?
Still the same.
So I don't know if they could even do it with a dynamic camera just because of the way the environments are built and stuff. But yeah, it's up there in the discussion, but when you've got Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time and Resi 4 in the same argument, for us two personally, it just gets shunted, doesn't it?
Yeah, both of those entries revolutionised their series, because Zelda had been, up until that point, traditionally predominantly isometric and 2D, and it was Ocarina that just sort of broke the mould and went, nah, do you know what, we are doing this series justice. And I know it's only recently that we've done the episode on it, so it's quite fresh in my memory. But again, Resident Evil 4 took the really stale, by that point, series that was sort of on a downward spiral. Because you'd got into the realms of Resident Evil Dead Aim, the Game Boy versions of Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil Gaiden. And it was the one that sort of went, oh, do you know what? We'll get rid of all the convoluted umbrella conspiracy theory bollocks that the series then promptly went back to in 5 and 6 when the series went on an even further downward spiral before they revitalized the series with Resi 7. And that's sort of what I like about Resi 7. It's sort of like a counterpart to Resident Evil 4 where they went, get rid of all the shitty backstory. It's still set in the same universe, but it is a standalone experience. You don't need to know the plot predominantly from the rest of the canon. And you can play it by itself. And it just, for its time, and even now with the remake, Resident Evil 4 is a fantastically good game.
Is 7 the first one where there's not a zombie in it? It probably is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
It's just, is it just hillbillies, isn't it? Yeah. In 7 rather than zombies. So, real departure. So is that meant to be set in the same world as the T-virus outbreaks going on? It's just in a part that's been untouched.
Yeah, it's the Resident Evil canon is messy, to say the least. Yeah, so you've got sort of Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, which is zombie outbreaks. I appreciate Resident Evil 4 sort of makes the departure because they are infected, but not with like something that makes them want to eat brains. They're sort of insects that make them go kill crazy. And then Resident Evil 7 took the change that Res 4 made, which was removing the fixed camera and making it sort of third person, quite close to Leon. And then went, do you know what, we might as well try it in first person. And broke the mold again, and then sort of went back on itself with Resident Evil 8, because it's a poorer entry in the series than 7.
Yeah. I think Ocarina's going to win, isn't it? Let's be fair. There's no comparison. As much as I love Resi 4, we've both played Ocarina far more, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's, if I got the whole Zelda gambit in front of me, and they went, right, you can only play one of these again, I'm probably always going to pick Ocarina. I think there's a couple linked to the past, maybe, potentially come close, because I do like the 2D ones as well. But let's be fair, Ocarina is the one that you get most out of. Majora, potentially, but I think there's more in Ocarina, isn't there? There's more gameplay in Ocarina. So there you go. That takes the top 10 spot. And that's the list from top to bottom, barring two entries. It's taken us 50 episodes to get to that point, which, so we've not done bad, have we? 100 games, well, 98 games in 50 episodes, and one of them wasn't about any of the games. In fact, two of them weren't, because one of them we did Nintendo Direct, and one of them, I know we did do a couple in the Nintendo Direct one, didn't we, right at the end?
Yeah.
But one of them, when you were ill, had no game in it whatsoever. So yeah, we don't think we've done bad there, and we will wrap up the list in the next couple of episodes. What would you say is your number one?
Oh, still Ocarina.
I mean,
Ocarina.
Do we need to ask?
Still Ocarina, hands down, followed closely by Majora, because it's my boo is Majora. and then I'd probably say stuff like Bioshock, that I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed playing those games, that I can just be like, oh yeah, I just pick up a pad and just play it again, and the nostalgia wave hits you. And Jet Set Willy for a twist,
surprise,
the unexpected.
Yeah. I think number one for me, just so we're not going for the same, is probably Pokemon Red and Blue. It's just a bit more relaxed, isn't it? You can sit back and relax and play that a little bit more than you can Zelda. I think you have to hyper focus on a lot of Ocarina to get the most out of it, whereas Pokemon, you can sort of have the TV on in the background and just be pottering about on it and do a bit more, so I prefer that one just. And then, yeah, Ocarina's up there, Resi 4's up there for me. Sonic 3 and Knuckles is up there, just because Sonic is my favourite gaming franchise, so it's got to be. And, yeah, in terms of surprise, I think Jet Set Willy, again, surprised me how much we had to say about it. Not necessarily how much I like the game as a standalone game, but surprised me. And I think in terms of surprising me that I actually enjoyed a game more than I thought I was going to do, I don't know, probably R-Type, because it isn't my type of game whatsoever, pardon the pun. and I really did quite enjoy playing it, and played it for way longer than I thought. Advance Wars I enjoyed, which again, didn't think I was going to do. I played that quite a bit while we were getting ready to record. So yeah, it's opened my eyes to a few. I mean, there's been a few in there that I'm really disappointed it opened my eyes to. Deus Ex and Shenmue being the big two. But I think it's been a fun 50 episodes so far, and hopefully everybody listening's enjoyed it and come along for the ride with us. As I say, two left. We will be doing the one I'm trying desperately to get finished next, and then the big number one for the last show, which is, I'll tell you now, it's going to be an anticlimax because we don't have an hour's worth of things to say about it. So if you've enjoyed this episode, that's good, because expect more of the same when we get to episode one.
Yeah, I think to go back to what you said about Shenmue being a disappointment, I think it's because of how much we sort of... I was adamant for episodes that you weren't going to enjoy it, and you were like, oh, no, it's I'm going to give it a fair chance. And then we built it up, and then you played it and went, oh, no, it is shit.
I just thought it couldn't be as bad as you were telling me because so many people like it. I just thought it's impossible. Eddie's just got a vendetta and it actually isn't a terrible game. Within about 5 minutes of booting it up, I was like, no, he's right. This is the worst thing I've had to endure on this list by far. And then Deus Ex came along, and I don't know. They're neck and neck for me. They really are. I mean, Shenmue was harder to control. But I feel like I would have got more out of Shenmue playing it. Like, at least there was something going on that I could... Like, that bloke that came in and prompted his digits and did something with those in the opening cutscene. At least I know something's happening. At least there's a story going on. Whereas Deus Ex, I watched a video of somebody playing it for over an hour after trying and failing to play it myself. And I still don't know what the story is or what was going on or anything, really. So, yeah. Deus Ex is probably the worst on the list for me.
Yeah, I think Shenmue deserves a further kicking for introducing QuickTime events to
actually
gaming industry.
Now you mention it as well, I forgot to factor in the fact I paid £35 for Shenmue from a retro game shop. So yeah, I don't know, actually, maybe that's took the... I only paid £1 for Deus Ex, and I was mad about that, and now I've just remembered I paid all that money for Shenmue. I'm even more frustrated.
So there's the QTEs that I think deserves a further knife in Shenmue's back. but with Deus Ex setting itself up as a sort of an immersive RPG to then, as you so rightly said in the episode, go to, oh, click the right button on the mouse to holster your pistol. How is this f***ing immersive? So it tries and fails, basically.
I think the biggest criticism as well you can level at Shenmue, and there's a lot, is just how little they did with 3 discs worth of game.
Yeah.
Like, why is it on 3 discs? What took up those 3 discs? It must be the audio, the voices. That's the only reason I can think it needed 3 discs, because it is... There's nothing to it, is there? It's just all pre-rendered streets and stuff, and yeah, it's just... It's making me mad again. We need to end this now. So... I will say thank you once again to our lovely patrons and give them the shout outs. So in the couple of coins tier, we've got Harry Flynn. In the bucket kicker tier, we've got Ric Flair. And in the Avatarnish tier, we've got the Sweaty Llama. So thanks to you guys. Anybody else wants to join up? We've got, as I say, currently an exclusive episode, which will have moved over onto Spotify by the time you hear this. But we have another one recorded, which may or may not already be on Patreon. We've got a few other exclusives on there in terms of audio clips. I won't beat that drum to death, but there is an audio clip on there you won't ever hear anywhere else. So you'll have to subscribe to hear that. So you can subscribe for as little as £2, I think the lowest tier is, and you get some of that stuff. Or if you want everything, it's £5 and above, I believe. And if you want your own avatar to match ours, you can go for the Avatarnish tier. So yeah, patreon.com/bucketlistgamers. Can head over there and support us. And unless you've got any other game, I mean, there's loads of stuff going on in the gaming world. The gaming BAFTAs, which we alluded to, that is the next Patreon exclusive episode, us talking about the candidates, not the winners, because we recorded it before the winners were announced. But that that's happened. I don't think there's massive amounts of news from it, to be fair. It was pretty much what you'd expect to happen happened, I think. But other than that, I don't think a lot's happened, has it? Is there anything else that's popped up that you've seen?
There are some bits, but given the fact that we're currently pushing towards an hour and a half, I think I'll probably save anything else that I've got until the next couple of episodes, where we may find that we're struggling to say more than 20 minutes worth of content.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, I have now played and seen Princess Peach Showtime, or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And I still don't know whether it's a good game or not. I'm leaning towards not, but it's one of those things with Nintendo, and I won't get into it because, like you say, we probably need content for another week. It's one of those things where it's, you can see how much effort they've put into it, so it's hard to be that negative to something they've put so much effort into. But at the same time, they should have really focused that effort somewhere else, I think, is the fairest way to say it. So yeah, we might cover that off in a future episode. I wouldn't recommend going and buying it based on the experience I've had with it. But there you go. And much like I wouldn't recommend going and buying a Geek Crate, but if you do want to go and buy a Geek Crate, geekcrate.co.uk, you can use our code BLG to get 15% off. But as we've covered in previous episodes, I wouldn't recommend it because the Pokemon one I got was rubbish. But then the Star Wars one was quite good. So it is completely up to you guys. But if you want to help us out, you can do that. And you get 15% off for yourself as well, if you are absolutely hell-bent on throwing your money away on one of those things. But if that's everything, I think it's probably best, as you say, we're at nearly an hour and a half. We will say that is goodbye from me.
That's goodbye from me.